Okay, so up next we have Dr. June Flora. She is a senior research scientist at HSTAR at Stanford University. And Dr. Flora works in collaboration with George Mason University Center for Climate Change Communication. And this research focuses on understanding how diverse publics use, interpret, and respond to information on the issue of climate change. The guiding objective of her work is the identification of effective communication strategies that inform and engage audiences. So, Dr. Flora.
Okay. So, as you've already heard, this is work done not at Stanford, but with the George Mason Center on Climate Change Communication and the Yale Climate Change Communication Project, which has done a massive amount of work in the last few years on understanding and supporting audiences' understanding of climate change. So this is one component of that, looking at families. So most Americans, if they believe in climate change at all, believe that it's far away, that it's animals, polar bears in particular, and yet here's the reality of what we're beginning to see with climate change, and we're all sort of looking around at Hurricane Sandy even as we speak right now. It's close, it's happening, and it's upon us, and we need to act. So we want to talk about how families can be an important part of that. So we focus on, and everybody wants that T-shirt, so we have to figure out where to get that T-shirt. So this study looks at intergenerational communication. So that is parent-child communication in relation to climate change beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors. And we look at the extent to which family communication has an influence on beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors. So the study is 523 parent-teen dyads. It was a survey conducted in two waves, and the data were collected online by Knowledge Networks. And it's households with at least one teen from 13 to 18. I think the mean age was about close to 15. And they were randomly sampled, and it is a nationally representative sample. So the family communication measures are sort of interesting to think about. So we have two kinds of measures. One is the frequency of discussion. So we have the frequency of discussion of global warming communication and the frequency of discussion of energy conservation. The next measure of communication is about quality of communication, and that is whether the teen or the adolescent feels that they can tell their parent anything, whether everyone in the family has a say, and then when they discuss these issues, do parents listen or do adolescents listen to each other? So the point about these scales is that they are a sum of both the teen's ratings of these issues and the parent's ratings. So they are indeed a family measure of communication, and you can see the alpha indices there work, so the measures are working fairly well. So we also looked at beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors. So we looked at global warming certainty. Do you believe that global warming or climate change is human caused? That's a binary variable. Human, not human, a dichotomous variable. Risk perception, perceived risk, response efficacy, and perceived importance. So that's a set of the 11 behaviors. And do you believe that those behaviors, how important do you believe that those behaviors are? So I should point out here that the behaviors are asked at the very beginning of the survey before they hear any of the other information about beliefs, attitudes, and so on. And the perceived importance items are asked way deep into the survey. So hopefully keeping those two things apart and not influencing each other within at least the survey administration component. So the first thing we ask ourselves then are, what are the relationships between when parents and teens' behaviors, beliefs, and so on are correlated? What is the relationship of communication to that correlation? Okay. So you can see in the first column there that we looked at the parent-teen correlations between each of those types of measures. So three of those measures you can see are very highly related, so that the perceived importance is like 0.45 between teens and parents, and behavior similarly, and global warming certainty, and less so to the other beliefs. So then the next thing we do is we take global warming frequency and we did a median split. So we look at high discussion or frequent discussion and not so frequent discussion. And we look at the correlation. So I should also point out that all of these correlations are significant. The important thing is in the little blue columns, or where the stakes are, is that you look at the significant differences between the high and lows. So in this case, for global warming talk frequency, you can see that those who have talked a lot about global warming, that there is a greater correlation in risk perception between the teen and the parent. And similarly, interestingly, to behavior. So there's much higher correlation between teen and parent behavior, that is, more positive behaviors or more climate-friendly behaviors than in the low discussion or the infrequent discussion. Similarly, when we look at energy conservation talk, we see, again, risk perception and response efficacy, significant differences between high and low. And then finally, my favorite measure, quality of communication. We see that quality of communication drives a lot of the beliefs and attitudes, but not so much as an influence on behavior. So again, overall, we can say that communication has a lot to do with the relationship between parents and teens' behavior and beliefs and attitudes, sorry. So the next thing we did was to look at, again, how does communication, frequency, and quality influence just the levels of beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors. And so you can see that there's a lot of relationship between, particularly in global warming talk frequency, there's a lot of relationship between how often you talk about things, particularly frequency of communication, and your level of rating of global warming certainty or your level of climate-friendly behavior. I should also say there's 11 measures of behavior there. I think there's 4 or 5 of them are energy conservation, 2 are transportation-related, and the rest are sort of more recycling or reusability, like reusing water bottles, recycling, and so on. Okay. So again, this interesting thing for me is in both parents and children that communication has to do with their levels of engagement in climate-friendly behavior. So if you're talking more frequently, even if you have higher quality conversations, then you're engaging more in behavior, both in parents and in teens. Sort of a wall of numbers, I apologize. The next thing we did was to look at regressions, trying to predict, because our ultimate outcome was to look at teens' engagement in climate-friendly behaviors. So the first thing we did was to look at the different blocks. So we looked at demographics and perceived import. So you can see at about, at this level, we're talking about 11% of the variance where we're looking at significance on perceived import. Now, this is teens' behavior, so we're looking at teens' behavior. Then the next thing we did was to add in family communication and parent perceived import. So again, in both of these last two models, models 3 and 4, family communication plays a large role in teen behavior. However, when we add in as the last block, parent behavior sort of sucks up most of the variance, if you would, for looking at teen behavior. So what we see here is that communication is really important all along until we add in parent behavior. So let's just think a little bit about parental modeling or behavioral modeling and role modeling of climate change friendly behavior. The next thing we did was to use the same sort of process to look at parents' engagements in climate friendly behaviors. Again, looking at parent demographics, parent perceived import of behaviors. We get up to about 21% of the variance, which is nice. Then we begin to add in communication. So communication, again, contributes significantly to parent behavior. And finally, we add in teen behavior. So in this case, notice that communication stays in as a significant part of parent behavior. So for teens, the big part of the story is parent role modeling. For parents, a big part of the story is family communication. Even though team behavior is in there, perceived import is in there, and so on. So then we want to think about messages and programs as to what we can do to bring about and reinforce, expand, enhance these. So I think of messages in four different ways. So they're messages directly for parents done by a variety of means, mediated, handouts, courses, whatever, religious organizations or whatever. So the thing we want to convey to parents from these data would be that we want to reinforce the family discussion and enhance the family discussion. We want to increase their knowledge so that they may do more and become even greater role models for their teens. And we want to help them support their teens' actions and engagement in this issue. The next thing is, what are the implications for teens? So we want to reinforce their talk to adults messages. We want to extend their knowledge, or using their skills, if you would, to enhance parental knowledge. And we want to give them, help them bring forward tools to family engagement, like dinner time discussions, bringing home things from school, doing family things together and shared behaviors, carpooling, so on, and family goal setting and feedback. And finally, we can think of a way where we want to talk to teens about helping their parents, okay? Or helping the parents help the teens. So one way is to think about supporting teen engagement, to build that parent-child bond in terms of this issue, is to help the teen inform the parent and create tools for engaging in parents in discussion. We, in our high school program, one of the things we did was we had kids role play different issues, like when mom is idling in the carpool lane, how do you talk to her about what that does, you know, to the environment. So there are ways to have the children bring home the issue to the parent. And again, messages for the teens from the parents so that they can engage that teen more often. They can find teen entry behaviors such as chores. One of the things we found in our fourth and fifth grade work with children was we were talking about hot water heaters, and the girls said, these were Girl Scouts, said, we don't have one. So we had to sort of began to start with, what is a hot water heater? And so we said, do you have hot water? Well, then you have a hot water heater, you know, that kind of thing. But to create these home entry behaviors, or a lot of even teenagers, when we've dealt with them, they don't do the laundry, or they didn't know what the laundry was, or whether it was cold water wash or hot water wash. So there's lots of ways that parents can engage teenagers, even just in learning life skills, to learn about climate-friendly behaviors. So finally, we just want to wrap up and say, we think that families are a very important audience. A lot of the household behaviors take place in the home. Residential energy conservation is close to a third of the residential sector carbon emissions. So there's a lot that can be done in the household that can improve our environment. And also, that might be the place where we begin to lay the groundwork for policy advocacy and civic engagement and consumer advocacy. So again, parents and kids modeling behaviors for each other and the community. One of the things we did with our high school students was to try to get symbols so that they could tell other people that they were engaged in climate change by putting it on their Facebook wall. That took about a year. But to get them to acknowledge and to make observable that kids are engaged in climate change. So finally, we need to find out more about the appropriate and best channels of communication for both parents and teens around climate change communication. And just to thank my colleagues, Connie Roser, who's here in the audience, and Ed Maybach, Teresa Myers at the George Mason Center for Climate Change Communication, and Tony Lazarowitz at the Yale Project on Climate Change. And of course, there are array of wonderful funders who helped continue this work in climate change communication. Thank you.